بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطاهرين ما دام ما في السماوات والأرضين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نسألك علما ينفعنا ويرفعنا. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. نوينا التعلم والتعليم والتذكر والتذكير والإفادة والاستفادة والحث على التمسك بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم، وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله. By the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have reached lesson number 17. Lesson number 17 deals with the preferred times for salah. The author starts off by mentioning وَأَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالِ الْمُبَادَرَةُ بِالصَّلَاةِ فِي أَوَّلِ وَقْتِهَا. You would recall that in our last lesson we had discussed the beginning time and also we had discussed the end time. By way of example, in terms of the Dhuhr prayer, it begins when the sun moves away from its zenith and it comes to an end when the shadow of a given object is equal to the object, and you'll have to add the length of the shadow at zenith. Another example would be the Maghrib prayer. The time begins when the sun sets, in other words, the entire disk disappears from the horizon, and alternatively, it ends when the red glow disappears in the horizon. So we had been looking at the beginning times and the end times. The author now discusses what is the optimum, what is the best time for you to perform any given prayer. And he says, وَأَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالِ. The word أَفْضَلُ is from the root letters فَا ضَاد لَام, which means to be virtuous or excellent. وَأَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالِ, the most virtuous or most excellent. أَعْمَالِ is the plural of the word عَمَلِ. The most excellent of actions would be الْمُبَادَرَةُ بِالصَّلَاةِ فِي أَوَّلِ وَقْتِهَا. الْمُبَادَرَةُ, to hasten, بِالصَّلَاةِ, in order to perform the prayer, فِي أَوَّلِ وَقْتِهَا, in its first time. So here there's a ground rule. The best action would be those actions performed in the beginning of its time. The best prayer would be the prayer performed in the beginning of its time. What is the proof for that? The proof reads as follows. The hadith ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu annahu qal. Due to the narration of Ibn Mas'ud, he says, سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الأعمال أفضل. I asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which actions are best? He responded by saying, الصلاة لأول وقتها, to perform the prayer in its first time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now the next issue which is addressed here, and I will endeavor to explain بإذن الله subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's start off by our practice. Normally, currently, we are in Dhuhr time. Asr is soon to come. Normally what happens is, before the Asr time sets in, I would prepare myself. I go relieve myself, I perform the ritual ablution, and I make my way to the mosque. By the time I reach the mosque, the prayer hasn't set in. The caller to prayer will call out the prayer, and now the time sets in. Immediately thereafter, I pray. So have I prayed my Asr prayer in its first time? Absolutely, I've done that. Is it necessary to do that before the time sets in? Our scholars simply answer and say no. In other words, the following scenario. What happens is, I wait for the time of Asr to set in. The moment the time sets in, I busy myself with preparing for the prayer. After having fulfilled the preparation, which takes an X amount of time, I now perform my prayer. Am I considered to have performed my prayer in its first time? Absolutely. And that is basically what our scholars say. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next question we're going to ask would be, what does preparation for salah entail? I don't want to bite out the point too much, but just to make it clearer to myself and to yourself. When are you considered as having performed any given prayer in the first time? You would have been considered as praying the prayer in its first time when after the time has set in, you begin your preparation and then you perform the salah. Getting the first waqt doesn't mean the moment that the adhan is called out, the moment the prayer sets in and you perform the prayer immediately, now only you gain the virtue of performing the prayer in its first time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Let's read through the text in that regard. It says, the virtue of the initial time is acquired by engaging in preparation for the salah after the time has entered and to then pray. What does preparation entail? Preparation entails the following. Number one is at-tuhur, to do what is necessary in terms of your ritual ablution. Number two is covering one's nakedness, calling out the adhan, calling out the iqamah, and then praying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We now go on to the next slide, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what has clearly been established thus far? That the most virtuous of deeds would be prayer in its first time. Therefore, all prayers, the best time to perform the prayer would be the moment that prayer sets in, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There's some sort of an exception if you want to, and that takes us to the next slide. What does the next slide talk about? It says, وَيُسَنُّ الْإِبْرَادُ بِالظَّهْرِ. It is recommended, sunnah, yasunnu or sunnah yusannu, to be sunnah. What does to be sunnah mean? It means that you will be rewarded for doing it, but you will not be punished for omitting it. That is the definition of the term sunnah. وَيُسَنُّ الْإِبْرَادِ. The word ibrad means to make cool. Barada, baridan, means to be cooled. Ibrad, to cause something to be cool. وَيُسَنُّ الْإِبْرَادُ بِالظُّهْرِ. It is recommended that you make the dhuhr cool. What does it mean? In other words, defer the dhuhr. So if we know hot region, and let's say dhuhr kicks in at 12 o'clock, the sun moves away from its zenith. It is extremely hot at that time. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, make dhuhr cool. In other words, defer dhuhr to a cooler time. That is recommended. That is the ruling. وَيُسَنُّ الْإِبْرَادُ بِالظُّهْرِ. It is recommended for you to defer dhuhr to a later time. وَفِي شِدَّةِ الْحَرِّ. But this doesn't apply to any and all circumstances. The sunniyah, the recommendedness of deferring the dhuhr prayer, applies when certain conditions are met. What are those conditions? The author talks about it and he says, فِي شِدَّةِ الْحَرِّ, when there's severe heat, فِي قُطْرٍ حَارٍ, when you find yourself in a hot region, لِمَنْ يُصَلِّ جَمَاعَةً, for a person intending to perform the prayer in a congregation, فِي مَسْجِدٍ بَعِيدٍ, in a masjid that is far off. Worry not, inshallah, we're going to unpack all of those conditions one by one. For now, we're going to concern ourselves with what is the proof. So the general rule is that perform any given prayer in its first time. That is the most virtuous thing for you to do, number one. Number two is, there's an exception to the rule. What is that exception? In the form of dhuhr, when conditions are met. What is the proof for that? The proof for that is qawlun nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha shtadda al-harru. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when the heat is severe, idha shtadda al-harru, when the heat is severe, fa'abridu bis-salah, then defer the prayer. Fa'inna shiddat al-harri min fayhi jahannam. He informs us that the severe heat that a person experiences immediately after midday, that is from the fire of hell. How exactly the fire of hell, which exists in another world altogether, how that impacts on our world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Another one of those mysteries of our existence. So what is the meaning of all what we've mentioned now? أَنَّوْ يُسَنُّ الْإِبْرَادِ, that making the dhuhr cool is recommended. In other words, to defer the prayer from its first time, إِلَىٰ أَن يَصِيرَ لِلْحِيطَانِ ظِلٌّ. So we say you must defer the prayer, but a question will come into your mind. Okay, we're in a hot region, on a hot day, in the hot season, it is recommended that we defer the dhuhr prayer. Till what time is the next very important question. So our scholars say, until such a time that the sun had moved towards the west. Now, as the sun moves towards the west, then it elongates. It elongates the shadow. So the moment you find that a wall is providing a shadow in which a person is able to walk in. So when we're talking about deferring the dhuhr prayer in a hot region, it means to defer the dhuhr prayer until such a time where a wall develops a shadow in which a person may walk, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We look to the next issue now, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and here I'm going to be focusing and reading through the slides which are actually prepared from Al-Bayan wa Ta'rif. We're going to look at that now. So we said it is recommended to defer dhuhr unconditionally? No, there are certain conditions. What are those conditions? We look to that now bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It reads as follows. So the condition is, dhuhr must be the prayer in question. In other words, delaying is not stipulated for Jumu'ah and neither for the other prayers. So delaying a prayer, number one, is only related to dhuhr. So your mind might tell you that, look, on a Friday, Jumu'ah takes the place of dhuhr, so we need to defer the Jumu'ah as well. It is recommended to defer the Jumu'ah. No, it does not apply. Why? Because the text relating to Jumu'ah are specific in terms of hastening the Jumu'ah and doing the Jumu'ah in the first possible time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Likewise, all the other prayers are excluded. In other words, it's not recommended to defer the Fajr prayer, not recommended to defer the Asr prayer, neither the Maghrib, neither the Isha, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The second condition would be that the heat must be severe, it must also be in the heat season, and it must be in a hot climatic area. Now, so what are we talking about? This is relating to the heat. Mild heat wouldn't impact. For example, we live in Cape Town, southernmost tip of Africa. It is a mild Mediterranean climate. It does get hot, but not severely hot. So in relation to us here, this particular practice of deferring the dhuhr prayer is simply not applicable because the conditions which justify the deferment are not to be found. It's as simple as that. If I want to rephrase what I've mentioned over here, it would read as follows, that it must be in the hot season, in a hot region, and the heat must be very severe, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If any of those conditions are found lacking, then there's no justification to defer the dhuhr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next condition reads as follows, the person must be performing salah in jama'ah. Now this restriction applies to other than a person intending to perform salah individually in the masjid, as it is recommended for him to defer as well. If we can just run through that again, what happens is the condition reads that in order for you to defer the dhuhr, in order for it to be recommended for you to do that, you must be praying in congregation. This refers to a person who intends to pray other than in a masjid. In other words, if you intend to pray in the masjid, even though you're going to be praying individually, it would be recommended for you, despite the fact that you're going to be performing your dhuhr prayer individually. Despite that reality, it is still recommended for you to defer it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The salah must be in a distant place. That's the last condition. Measure of distance would be such a distance that the person's khushu, what do we refer to as khushu? In other words, tadallul al-qalb wa khawfi, the humbleness and humility is going to become impacted. So in other words, if the masjid is right next door and you simply have to exit from your door and enter into the door next door, so what has happened in terms of your state being taken out of equilibrium and out of a state of tranquility and peace? Despite the fact that it's very hot, the distance that you covered hasn't negatively impacted upon you in any way. So therefore, in relation to you, it is not going to be recommended that you defer the dhuhr prayer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We go on to the next slide, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is really a reiteration. We've looked before in terms of deferring the prayer without a valid reason, without traveling, without sickness, or whatever the case may be. It is considered to be a major sin. Here, that particular point is somewhat reiterated, and the author says, وَمَنْ أَخَّرَ الصَّلَاةَ حَتَّى وَقَعَ بَعْضُهَا خَارِجَ الْوَقْتِ بِغَيْرِ عُذْرٍ عَصَى. Whoever defers the prayer, so much so that a part of the prayer occurs outside of the stipulated time, بِغَيْرِ عُذْرٍ, without a valid excuse, عَصَى, is considered to be a sinner, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We go on to the next point, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It relates to not knowing the time. A person is going to pray, but he is unaware of the time and is unable to ascertain the time. What does a person do in this particular scenario? The text reads, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْلَمْ وَقْتَهَا. Whoever does not know the time of it, in other words, referring to the time of salah. You find yourself in a place and you are unable to ascertain the time of the salah. Can we give an example? Perhaps the person responsible for the explanatory notes says, بِأَيَّكُونَ فِي مَحَلٍ لَا يَرَى الشَّمْسِ. give an example where a person finds himself and he doesn't know the time. So if he doesn't know the time, he doesn't know whether he has to perform his salah or not. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْلَمْ وَقْتَهَا. A person doesn't know the time, so he doesn't know whether he has to perform salah now or not. Example of that would be, a person finds himself in such a place where he cannot see the sun. He's imprisoned. He's placed in a dungeon. He's placed in a basement and imprisoned there. No access to the outside world. وَلَيْسَ عِنْدَوْ السَّاعَاتَ الْمَعْرُوفَ الْيَوْمِ. In the footnotes of Al-Bayn wa-Ta'rif, they say, and he doesn't have a watch. Because look, if a person is placed in a basement or is placed in a prison and he has a watch, he has an idea in terms of what the time is. So you wouldn't fall in this particular category. A person in prison, he doesn't have a watch. What happens in regards to this particular person? يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ الْأَخْذُ بِخَبْرِ ثِقَةٍ يُخْبِرُ عَنْ عِلْمٍ. It is necessary for him to take the information provided by a reliable person. And this person providing the information would provide the information not based on probability but based on uncertitude. For example, he's in the dungeon and the security guard or the guard comes and the guard informs him that the sun had now moved away from its zenith. How do you know? I saw the sun moving away from its zenith. So in that particular instance, when a person is unable to ascertain the time by himself, he's going to rely on the information of a reliable person. Another example would be like the information of a reliable person informing you that the time has now set in. It's necessary for you to take that particular view. Like that would be أذان ثقة عارف بالمواقيت. The calling out to prayer of a reliable person who knows the times. أذن في صحوين. And he's calling out the أذان when the sky is clear. It becomes necessary for a person to rely on him, and Allah SWT knows best. When this is not possible, a person finds himself in a situation where he's unable to ascertain the time himself, nor is he able to rely on the information of somebody else, nobody to provide him with information, what does he do in that particular regard? The prayer falls away? No. وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ أَن يَجْتَهِدَ. It is necessary for him to make ijtihad. Ijtihad literally means بَذْلُ الْوُسْعِ. بَذْلُ means to expand الْوُسْعِ, your capacity. So he needs to expand his capacity في معرفة دخولي, in terms of trying to ascertain has the time entered or not. How does one do that? There are a number of modes here. A few are given by way of example. The first example would be بِدِرَاسَةٍ, by study. He knows that, look, if I study this much and the time I complete a chapter or two or three, normally, under normal circumstances, then the Maghrib, the time for Maghrib would have elapsed and the time for Isha would have set in. Or he has a litany, or he recited a certain portion of the Quran, or even bihirfatin, this is example which is mentioned by Fadl. He knows that I'm a tailor by way of example, and between Maghrib and Isha, I'm normally able to cut out a pants by way of example, or I'm able to cut out the design thereof. And normally by the time I finish that design, and then the time of Maghrib had elapsed and I listened to the Adhan, but the Adhan is no longer there to be listened to. So based on my application of what I have at my disposal, I'm able to ascertain that now is the time for Isha or whatever the prayer may be, and Allah SWT knows best. The next issue that we learn, the synopsis basically in what I've put on this particular slide, would be from the aforementioned, it is known that it is not possible to make ijtihad whilst we have information of a reliable authority that informs based on knowledge, and Allah SWT knows best. The next issue we're looking at would be when a person misses a prayer. So وَمَنْ فَاتَهُ فَرْضٌ بِغَيْرِ عُذْرٍ. Yeah, interestingly, when we look at the language of the way our scholars put this forward, they say وَمَنْ فَاتَهُ فَرْضٌ بِغَيْرِ عُذْرٍ. Whoever a necessary prayer misses, they don't say he misses the prayer, because a believer would never intentionally miss a prayer. Allah SWT enable us to be particular about our prayers and make it a means of ascension, that we're able to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amin ya rabbal alameen. وَمَنْ فَاتَهُ فَرْضٌ بِغَيْرِ عُذْرٍ. Whoever a compulsory prayer misses بِغَيْرِ عُذْرٍ, without a valid excuse. وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ قَضَاءُ عَلَى الْفَوْرِ. It is necessary for him to repay it immediately. In other words, immediacy is stipulated. What does that mean? The text will unpack it now. It reads as follows. It is necessary for a person to spend all his time in qadha, except for that which is absolutely necessary, like earning a living and the fulfillment of another wajib that he fears will be missed, as well as eating and sleeping. it is not permissible for a person to perform supererogatory prayers until he is finished with the qada. So if it is that you need to pay in prayers that you have missed without an excuse, then you need to busy yourself immediately with repraying, repatriation. You have to repay all of those prayers. It is not permissible for you to perform recommended prayers whilst you have compulsory prayers outstanding, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Alternatively, when a person misses a prayer with a valid excuse, for example, he overslept, then it is recommended for him to hasten to complete it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, from that ruling that we find now, the author of Bayan wa Ta'rif produces the words of Imam Abdullah ibn Haddad, which is really beautiful to listen to, and it talks about the ethos really and the spirit of our Islam. What did we learn now? If you miss a prayer intentionally, you need to repay it immediately. You can't do anything else except for the basic requirements of working, etc. But other than that, all of your time should be spent in repaying those prayers. That's basically what the fiqh books say. Fa'idah. As a last point, and it's a good note to end on, a fa'idah, a benefit is mentioned. قال صاحب بغيات المسترشدين. The author of a very famous and well-known reliable book called بغيات المسترشدين, he says, ومن كلام الحبيب القطب, and of the speech of the beloved Al-Qutb, the axis, Abdullah Al-Haddad, Imam Abdullah ibn Alawi Al-Haddad. What does he say? He says, وَيَلْزَمُ التَّائِبُ, it is binding upon a person who had repented, أَن يَقْضِيَ, to repay مَا فَرَطَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ, that which he was negligent about in terms of compulsory acts. What are we talking about? كَالصَّلَاتِ, like the prayer, وَالصَّوْمِ, and the fasting. In other words, any prayers which he may have missed, any fasting which he may have missed, was zakah that he did not pay, لابد له منه, it is necessary for him to do that, ويكون على التراخي, it will be deferred. A moment ago we said it is necessary to do it immediately. Imam Abdullah ibn Haddad says على التراخي والاستطاعتي, and when he is able to, in other words, in his stride, من غير تضييق, without making it restricted upon him, ولا تساهل, and without negligence. So in other words, you should fulfill it in your stride, but not in a way that you become stressed out about it, and also not in a way that you have a never mind attitude about it, that I'm going to do it sometime. No, it's a balance. Now, فَإِنَّ الدِّينَ مَتِينٌ, because it's important that Islam is something mateen, strong. In other words, it is a very important part of your life, and it should be given its due importance. Now, وَقَدْ قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, the Prophet ﷺ said, يَسِّرُ وَلَا تُعَسِّرُ, that make things easy, وَلَا تُعَسِّرُ, don't make things difficult. وَهَذَا كَمَا تَرَى, and this is as you see it, أَوْلَى, is better. So Imam Abdullah ibn Haddad is very aware of the fact that what he's saying to you now and the recommendation he's giving, it goes against what is being established in the fiqh books. So what is he saying? وَهَذَا كَمَا تَرَى, this as you see, أَوْلَى, is better. مِمَّا قَالَهُ الْفُقَهَا, than that which the jurists have said, مِنْ وُجُوبِ, that it is necessary that he spend all of his time in terms of performing the qadha, مَا عَدَى مَا يَحْتَاجُهُ لَهُ, except that which he requires for himself and for his responsibilities in terms of wife, family, whatever the case may be. لِمَا فِي ذَلِكَ مِنْ الْحَرَجِ الشَّدِيدِ, because if we're going to say that you must pray all of your prayers, it amounts to a very great difficulty. And it's not a long-term, a sustainable solution, if you wanted to use modern terminology in this particular regard. Alhamdulillah, this brings us to an end of lesson number 16. Our next lesson, which is lesson number 17, coming up next week, bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be regarding impermissible times for salah. Till we meet again, barakallahu feekum jami'an, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.